460.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that over there, but we're good. Those are our friends, Pony Creek. Always sliding in my emails, wishing us well, loving what we're doing here. So that one is actually called Till Your Mind. Pony Creek, Local Music Thursdays on the Gary Sharp Show.
All throughout the day, you will hear sound that you can go to your favorite bar, club, or your favorite Spotify, and you may be able to find the people that are featured on Thursdays on this program called The Gary Sharp Show. Jacob Padilla from Hail Varsity, Damon Benning from 1620 The Zone. Coming up in the next hour, but here is Nate. Nate, thanks.
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Good, Nate.
So let me preface this by saying I do love and respect Danny and all that he's done to put our tiny little state on the map. I'm grateful for that. I know he has a very strong football acumen, but I do not understand this Frost love affair, especially with the assumption that comes with the, his pedigree. Okay. By that knowledge and logic, then you would have to say Mike Riley would have been a great choice because he learned under Bear Bryant for so many years. But of course we know how that worked out. I don't put a lot of stock in pedigree because even from a father to a son, things don't always necessarily translate. Otherwise, every son of every athlete would go on to become the next greatest version thereof. I've had this discussion with DB before. I'm really concerned with what's going on for the long-term picture. I'm in love with Frost, the system guy. I'm in love with Frost, the recruiter. I'm in love with Frost, the culture guy. I think he's a disastrous play caller. We talk about talent and conditioning and all these things that go on, but you don't have to do all those factors and have them working to know that if my offensive line is the worst part of my team, continually trying to run inside zone 40 times a game or fullback or a halfback dive or a blast or even a halfback ISO play is going to be a total disaster. You don't have to wait for talent to figure that out and to do something different. They're 5-yard out routes. I mean, you have two future NFL slot receivers, 5-yard out route, 5-yard in route, quick slant. I mean, there's a million little routes you could run, swing passes. This idea that we have time to develop these crazy end-around toss plays with no offensive line to speak of. I mean, there are high schools in Nebraska that have a stronger, more cohesive offensive line than Nebraska, but our play calling doesn't bear that out. I really need him to hire an offensive coordinator or a ground game coordinator or any one of those cute little offensive assistants that coordinates those things, because I don't have the faith, honestly, in the offense. And when you start talking about hiring an offensive guru coach that clearly has some real faults in the play calling and in the system implementation, not so much the development, you're having a whole different narrative. And I'll let you talk about that. But
now let me ask
you,
okay, Nate, when did you get this? When did this opinion hit you? This
second
year,
second half of Colorado.
Okay,
honestly, second half of Colorado was remarkably head scratching.
It was.
The first
it
half
was.
Of last year was a little troubling because those some of those same problems were starting to manifest, but. Year one, if you rush to any judgment, you're kind of an idiot. But when you get to year two and you're like, okay, why hasn't this been figured out? Especially after you had some breakthroughs in the second half of year one. There was some momentum coming here. And I don't think that there is so few talent on this roster that things couldn't be adapted, integrated, and moved. I mean, Callahan in his first year with the wrong system scrapped everything and still pieced together an offense that could throw together a few drives here and there and some points. This offense is possibly the most anemic I've seen in Nebraska history.
Well,
I mean, and that's saying a lot.
Well, I mean, it right now, the way they're playing, it's giving the 09 offense a run for its money.
It is. But you have his dream quarterback. You have a dream running back in Washington, and you have two dream slot receivers. You're missing basically one slot receiver and an offensive line. If you have 6 out of the 11 pieces necessary, you ought to be able to get 30 points a game in this system, especially being that you have the quarterback, which is the whole cornerstone of this. It's not like he's got everything else and has a JV quarterback out there.
No, but I think there's a litany of problems that we don't get full insight into on what is limiting either an Adrian Martinez, why wide receivers can't get off line of scrimmage, or why this offensive line can't get together. I'm very curious to see what happens coming out of their bye on either scheme-wise or attitude-wise, but he's 19 games in. Do you feel, Nate, confident enough that if there's a point during Scott's career, which is 19 games long at a Power 5 school as the head coach, that he has it in him, because he didn't come here to fail, that if he sees that he's an issue, that he'll make a move, or he will adjust some things. Do you feel confident enough that he would do that?
I don't think there's enough statistical sampling to say yes or no. I don't know. I would hope so. I agree he has the drive to succeed, but I also think there's a bit of swagger to him.
Yeah, there is that. That is
smugness, but I mean, it borders that. It does. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look back at Callahan. I mean, that offense was national title worthy. By the time he left, he just couldn't get rid of Cosgrove, which was the worst defense ever. I mean, at what point do you balance ego versus execution?
Well, let's stick with the 18-19 Frost era and just focus on that. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I am concerned. I think that. What is your thoughts on the play calling? Because some of the stuff to me is like junior high, Pee Wee League.
Awesome. Well, I think you brought up Colorado. The second half of Colorado was troublesome.
Yeah. So conservative and for no reason.
Well, and then I'm thinking, all right, he's going to learn a lesson, but they've been so shoddy since then. I don't know what we've learned. And there's so many issues with the offense where you have 10 guys that might be on in a play and one guy is off and it just blows everything up.
I mean, can we agree that there's no reason to call an inside run play at this point? We know that. But it's 30 times a game, man. Seriously.
Well,
it's not the same inside run play, but it's an inside run play.
Yeah, but Nate, don't be surprised against Indiana if they try and beat that into the ground.
Oh, I know they're going to. But, I mean, Indiana's the one team that should work because their defense is so trash. That probably will bear some fruit against Indiana, but to do it against Northwestern, against Ohio State, it's maddeningly amateur to try to do that.
Nate, let's have this discussion again the Monday after Iowa.
I'll call you, man.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, Jacob Padilla is coming up next. We got. I'm taking notes here. We got stuff to respond to. We're running out of time, George. We'll get to Jacob. 90-50-10 today. 90% certain this will happen the rest of the year for Nebraska, or at the end of the year. 50%, 10%. Like my 10% that I don't think it can happen. Nebraska having an all Big Ten player, offense, defense. Now, could Wandale Robinson be freshman of the year in the Big Ten? Certainly. But how many more games is Wandale Robinson going to play the rest of the year? We don't know that. That's an unknown. But I'm 10% certain Nebraska will not have an all Big Ten offensive or defensive player. All right, Jacob and Damon coming up next. Gary Sharp Show on a Local Music Thursday on 1620 The Zone.